While this was happening, Pierce and Egger slipped into the house through the open front door. They proceeded directly to the cellar door. This door was locked, but Egger employed a twirl or picklock and had it open in a moment. The two men were inside the cellar with the door closed behind them by the time the footman received his shilling from the lady in the carriage. He tossed the coin in the air, caught it, and walked back to the house and locked up the door once more, never suspecting he had been tricked. That was the carriage fakement. In the light of a narrow beam lantern, Pierce checked his watch. It was 9:04. That gave them an hour to find the key before Barlow provided his diversion to cover their escape. Pierce and Egger moved stealthily down the creaking stairs into the depths of the cellar. They saw the wine racks locked behind iron gratings. These new locks yielded easily to Egger's attentions. At 9:11, they swung the grating door open and entered the wine cellar proper. They immediately began the search for the key. There was no way to be clever about the search. It was a slow and painstaking business. Pierce could make only one assumption about the hiding place. Since Mr. Trent's wife was the person who usually went into the cellar, and since Mr. Trent did not want her coming across the key by accident, the banker probably hid his key at some inconveniently high location. They first searched the tops of the racks, feeling with their fingers. It was dusty, and there was soon a good deal of dust in the air. Egger, with his bad lungs, had difficulty suppressing his cough. Several times his stifled grunts were sufficiently loud to alarm Pierce, but the Trent household never heard them. Soon it was 9:30. Now, Pierce knew, time was beginning to work against them. Pierce searched more frantically and became impatient, hissing his complaints to Egger, who wielded the spot of light from the hot-shaded lantern. 10 more minutes passed, and Pierce began to sweat. And then, with startling suddenness, his fingers felt something cold on top of the wine-rack crossbars. The object fell to the ground with a metallic clink. A few moments of scrambling around on the earthen floor of the cellar, and they had the key. It was 9:45. Pierce held it into the spot from the lantern. In darkness, Egger groaned.
"What is it?" Pierce whispered.
"That's not it."
"What do you mean?"
"I mean, it's not the ruddy key. It's the wrong one."
Pierce turned the key over in his hands.
"Are you sure?"
he whispered. But even as he spoke, he knew Egger was right. The key was dusty and old. There was grime in the crevices of the prongs. Egger spoke his thoughts.